and the piece, you know, right here between 30th Street and 42nd Street, you know, is going to be a part of the central business district. But what we've learned a lot about how to design and build cities and learned how not to do it. Diverse mixes of activities work and create 24-hour places that people like to live in and work in and play in. It's an unusual building because it's built on air rights over the tracks, and again, it was built when this was the back of Beyond, when this was the, you know, nobody wanted to be here. It's now turned into a major, you know, media building. The Daily News is over there, Channel 13 is over there, BBC, a lot of the other international news organizations have their studios there. And those are the kinds of activities we want to see continue to be here. Now here's one of the features of the West Side landscape, which are these ramps into the in and out of the Lincoln Tunnel and then in and out of the Port Authority bus terminal. You can go to Boston, check out the Copley Square exit and the Mass Pike and the interchange there. Suburbanites like it, you know, because they get a ramp, you know, park there and a ramp right onto the Mass Pike and they're in Wellesley in 11 minutes. And pretty nice if you're a suburban commuter. You know, it just gives you a sense. Boston can do that. Explain to me why New York can't. Well, the Big Dig is a good idea, and it gave mega projects a bad name. It was the last big cut and cover tunneling project in the world, and it was right about the time that you know, was planned that the new tunnel boring machine technology came online, and you can essentially build tunnels for, you know, a fifth the cost. Cut and cover. And in Boston, it wasn't just cut and cover. It was cut and cover, cut and cover, cut and cover, cut and cover. They kept opening and closing the thing. They replaced every bit of infrastructure in central Boston. Again, $14 billion used to sound like a lot of money, but, you know, that's an hour of stimulus money. I think what we've learned over the years is that if you build the infrastructure and you build the amenities, that the private sector will respond and the public will want to be here. This is where the stadium would have gone, and the stadium was on the west side. This was the forecourt. The Olympic Plaza was over here, and then there was some office and apartment buildings and so forth. But you know, this would have been, I think, a great wasted opportunity, and now it's going to be. You know, that it's going to be one of the most intensively developed and valuable real estate developments in the world. You can already see just south in south of the High Line in the Chelsea district that was rezoned a few years ago, you know, new high-rise residential going up. It just doesn't take a lot of imagination to see that spreading a block or two north. This is developing a whole new area of the city. And we have a model for doing these things. And these are multi-block, long-term, transformational development projects. And the one that we've done best in the last 30 years is Battery Park City. And that's the model for how to do these things. You know, you don't create a redevelopment plan and do an RFP and, you know, have the developer come in with a sketch level, you know, that represents 0.5% to 1% of design, and on the basis of that, hand the developer the keys. You know, because the market's going to change, the activities are going to change, the public spaces are going to change and so forth. And what you do is in Battery Park City, you know, they put the infrastructure in place, they put the streets in place, and then they've allowed the neighborhood to develop around it over time. And the precise mix of activities depends on the economy of the district and of the city and of the times and so forth. And you know, we've been able to green the whole thing up. I mean, that wasn't even, no one even thought about green buildings when that was planned, and yet it's become the greenest maybe in the country. And, you know, that's what we need to do here, I think, is to create something like the Battery Park City authority to manage this site and stay on top of it and work, whether it's one developer or a number of developers, but basically have a continuing public interest. And, you know, the Atlantic Yards, the same thing should have happened. Everybody was hysterical over here to get this locked down before Mayor Bloomberg finished his second and final term. Well, guess what? He's probably going to be mayor for another term. The real estate market has given us a breather, so let's get it right. Let's take the time to do this thing right. And it'll still be Bloomberg's legacy for doing it. And you know, he could feel good about that, but it doesn't, you know, you don't have to just, you know, give it away. You know, remember we had to get $1 billion in the site for the MTA. Well, the MTA didn't get $1 billion for it, and they will eventually. And the other thing that we push for needs to not do this as a sale to the developer, but rather a long-term lease.